In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, one of the ground level things about the Orthodox faith is that we begin to see ourselves as we really are. And if we look at all of the spiritual writings of the fathers, and even in the Gospels themselves, and the epistles especially, we see that the people that the Lord ran into, that he healed or did some things for, most of the time seemed to feel that way themselves. St. Paul certainly did. He considered himself the least of everyone. And we can hardly doubt that he was sincere in this belief. We pray before the reception of Holy Communion, we say that we are the chief of sinners. Do we not? We say this throughout many, many of our prayers. I mean, it's all over the place. And yet, we have to wonder in our struggle, particularly now that we've come to the Sunday of the Canaanite woman, which is right before the beginning of the Triodion and the pre-Lenten Sundays, we have to wonder how we really do think of ourselves. Do we think of ourselves as the chief among sinners, of the lowest of all the people that we meet? Because that is the goal. That is, in fact, we are, but we also need to work towards understanding what that means and seeing ourselves in this way. And it can be a very, very difficult thing. And in fact, no matter how many times you might repeat it, and you might say to yourself, well, I really am. I am the lowest of anyone. My sins are such that I dare not compare myself to anyone else at any time because they're much better than I am. And assuming then that we actually come to that place where we could just begin to believe that, to understand that, that we really are the worst of all sinners. And assuming you really took it unto yourself and began to fervently believe it and to perhaps even act that way, what happens then when other people start agreeing with you? Then it becomes even more difficult, doesn't it? Then it becomes a real test. Then we find out how much the affectation of saying that we are the chief among sinners really is an affectation and not a truth at all. Because if we can bring ourselves even to the point of acquiring such humility where, you know, we are gracious towards other people and we're non-judgmental and people come up to us and we understand that we may be at fault or even that we take things upon ourselves like saying that we are at fault when we're really not in order to help someone else. Even if we come to that, if you run into someone else and you would say something to them like, well, I'm at fault. I am really the worst of sinners. I understand that. And then the person looks at you and says, yes, you are. You're the worst I've ever run into. I don't see much good in you at all. In fact, I don't like you very much. What happens then to this preparation that we've gone through to understand ourselves as the lowest of all human beings? Immediately, we start thinking, whoa, now wait a minute, okay. You're right, I'm bad. But I'm not that bad. In fact, I think I'm probably better than you. So maybe you're the lowest of all sinners instead of me. I say this just so you can get an idea of how much work needs to be done to acquire the grace of God to get us just to the very cusp of beginning to believe that we are indeed sinners, let alone the lowest of all sinners. St. Paul considered himself the chief of all sinners. And we look at St. Paul, we think, come on, are you kidding me? Look at where you are in the church. My goodness, there's a whole feast dedicated to you. How could you say you were the chief of all sinners? But it's precisely because he is now glorified in the church so greatly that we know that he really did believe that. And that belief led him to certain activities that increased the grace of God in him so that he could proclaim such things. That's what we need to do as well. In today's gospel, we get a great, great demonstration of this. Because this woman was from Canaan. And it's very interesting because if you go back and you look at biblical history, Canaanites in general, I mean, it's a real melange. It's just a complete mixture of all kinds of different peoples at different times. Canaan was basically on the west side of what we now know as Israel, Palestine, Syria, all of these things together, where the races intermixed and intermingled, and Canaanites eventually became known for sometimes even sacrificing children, for doing just all kinds of horrible things that actually the Israelites did also when they intermarried with them, and that the Lord completely condemned all the time. But by the time that he was walking the earth, the Canaanites were a very, very despised race. And so St. Matthew today says that it's the Canaanite woman. Actually, St. Mark says something a little bit different. He refers to her more as what would have then been the contemporary nomenclature of Syro or Syrophoenician woman. It's all the same. Syrophoenician would have been what they would have understood in Jesus' time is where this woman was from. But yet, Canaanite emphasizes the ancientness of that race that had gone bad. Of course, Canaan was one of the grandchildren of Noah, the son of Ham. So it goes way, way, way back. So this woman was someone who was coming out of nowhere, and she was desperate because she had a daughter that was possessed. And so she cries out to the Lord and says, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David," as if she actually understood who that he was. And Jesus just ignores her completely. Completely. Here is a woman who reached the end of her rope. She knew that she was not part of the people of Israel. She knew that in his eyes, she was probably the lowest of the low. And so he ignores her. He doesn't say to her, "Well, oh no, come on, you know, I accept everyone. I always do." No, he just ignores her completely. And the woman, again, keeps on after him, saying, "Please, please." So much so that the disciples were saying, whom all the fathers indicate that the disciples really wanted the Lord to help her. And they say to him, "Send her away, send her away. She's making so much ruckus now." You know, in other words, do something for her, get her out of here so we can, you know, go back to what we were doing. And the Lord tells them, "I came only for the people of the house of Israel. That's why I'm here." And the woman hearing this says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs can eat from the crumbs of the master's table." And this is after the Lord had basically called her a dog. In fact, if you look at the Greek, it says "little dog" is what he called her. But she didn't respond by being insulted or run away, anything like that. She came and said, "Yes, but even though you're here for the chosen people of Israel, yet you help all people everywhere because they're all your children. You feed them all. Maybe not with the riches that you give for those who are chosen, but you still clothe them all. You still help them all. The rain still falls on the just and the unjust." The Lord is really, really moved by this. Because for the only time in the Gospels, he says, "Woman, great is your faith." He doesn't say that anywhere else. He talks about faith. "Your faith has saved you. Go, your faith has saved you. Woman, great is your faith. And your daughter is healed." And as the gospel tells us, from that moment it happened, the daughter was indeed cured of this possession that she had. You know, we're coming now sort of to the sunrise of Lent, okay? It's time to let the chilly ice that surrounds our souls right now to begin to thaw. And that's why this gospel is given to us today, so that we can sense this, so we can see that we actually are, as this woman was, desperate and in need, and all we want really are crumbs from the table right now. We don't need the riches of the kingdom of heaven. We just need a little bit to sustain us and to lead us into the greatness of Lent, which is right around the corner. And so we have to think about how our reaction would be as this woman's was, knowing that she really was the lowest of the low, and yet she kept beseeching the Lord no matter what. And our beseeching has to be the same way. And not only in our prayers and supplications to Him, which we need to do, but also in how we see ourselves among our own congregation, among our own human family. Because honestly, the lower you see yourself, the freer you are. No one has anything on you at all. If you come to that point when you realize that, yes, maybe I really am the lowest of all sinners. Maybe everyone else is better than me in that regard. Because that's how God wants us to see ourselves. Because when we are reduced that much, when we are brought to such a state where we can be completely open to God, then His grace comes upon us. But if we maintain that sense of self, that sense of putting me way up here before all others, of thinking of my own desires and needs and pleasures before anything else, the grace of God, it's like it hits a wall. It can't get in. Not because it doesn't have the power to get in, but because we're not letting it in. And He's respecting our free wills in that regard. So the woman of Canaan has much to show all of us. To understand that even in our lowliness, our faith can be great if we will but humble ourselves and bring ourselves to the feet of the Lord and say, just give me the crumbs, Lord. That's all I need. That's all I want right now. If we can do this, if we can begin to humble ourselves, if we can begin to reach out to others, my brothers and sisters, you will have a Lent like you've never experienced in your life. Because that's the point of it. Everything that is beginning, starting today, going through the next four Sundays, is breaking down the walls of our pride and offering us the humility which comes from God. Amen.